Everybody say the word righteous. Everybody say righteous. Okay, that's what we're going to learn about today. Putting my tithes and offering in. That means this side needs to give your tithes and offerings. This basket is empty. All right. Everybody, and I'm not laughing, as you notice. All right. We thank you for your giving. That's how we're able to do everything we're able to do around here. And but we've been in this series, and if you haven't been here for this series, it's okay, because all these messages are standalone messages. But the title of this series was called The Established Heart, and we've been looking at seven major revelations every believer should know. And we've been going through this, and we've been haven't necessarily gone in order, but we've been looking at each one of these. And last week we talked about number one, the reality of redemption. Next Sunday we're going to look at the reality of the new birth. And then today we're going to look at the reality of being made the righteousness of God. And then the reality of being God indwelt will be the first Sunday in 2022. We'll talk about that. And then we've already talked about 5, 6, and 7, which is the reality of the authority in the name of Jesus, the reality of the integrity of God's word, and then number 7, the reality of the God kind of faith residing in you. And if you have your Bibles, I've been encouraging you to bring your Bibles as well, even though I put them up here on PowerPoint. I'm also going to look at a passage of scripture here in a little bit that's not on PowerPoint, but I want you to turn to Psalms chapter 112, and then if you're really good, turn to Romans chapter 4, and then if you want a third one, turn to Job chapter 33. So Psalms 112, Romans 4, and Job chapter 33. And like I said, I encourage you to go home, even though I'm kind of hitting the highlights of these words like redemption last week. This week is righteousness. I encourage you to go home and do a word study on these yourself. There's so many scriptures on the word redemption. There's so many scriptures on the word righteousness, and it just helps you understand what righteousness is. And I believe after today, you're going to have a good understanding of what righteousness really is in your life. And so there's going to be, if you are taking notes, there's going to be 3 points that I'm going to give you, so you can write down 1, 2, and 3 on the back of your bulletin. And then we're also going to have, I'm going to bring up this whiteboard here in just a second, so we're going to have a little visual learning as well. So I don't know about you, but I like visual learning. I like hands-on training, and I'm not really good at auditory. Some of you can hear something and remember it forever. I'm not like that. I need to see it and do it myself before I can understand it. Okay, Psalms 112, verses 1 through 10. Says, praise the Lord. I'm going to put them up here. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. And to the upright there rises light in the darkness. He is gracious. This is talking about somebody that understands all 7 of these revelations that we've been talking about. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast. There's the title of this, the steadfast heart, or the heart is established. Trusting in the Lord, and verse 8 is where we get our title of this series. His heart is established, the established heart, because it's established on the word of God. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. And our main scriptures are Psalms 112, verses 7 through 8. It says, he will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. Now, had you turn, that's what we're after, Psalms 112. That's the kind of man of God, woman of God that you want to be. Psalms 112, and I encourage you to read that over and over again and get it down into your spirit. Now we're going to turn to Romans chapter 4, and before I read the main scriptures that we're going to look at today, which is Romans 4, verses 1 through 5, just want to kind of give you what the book of Romans is all about. The book of Romans is a story of how God restored righteousness to us on the ground of faith in Jesus Christ. I think of the the Apostle Paul, with his revelation that God gave him and what he gave to the body of Christ through his epistles, the letters to the church, that's the main thing that the Apostle Paul, even though there was a lot of instruction and teaching that he did, but the main revelation that he was trying to get over to all of us as the Lord's disciples is that righteousness has been restored to us on the ground of faith in Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Now, this is the reason why faith today doesn't function, all right? You might be saying, well, Pastor Mark, I've been sitting in church for years. I want my faith to work. Faith without works is dead, and all, we know all that. Now, I just want you to think about this for just a second, all right? The reason faith doesn't function is because, for the most part, most of us in this room, if you've been in church for any length of time, we have heard continual preaching and teaching on sin instead of righteousness. Okay? I know I'm a sinner. Okay? I know it. I don't need to have my rear end spanked every Sunday morning. Amen? Okay? And I'm sorry, but that's what happens from a lot of pulpits today, is a lot of spankings going on. And people leave there just the same as they come in, and then they wonder why their faith isn't functioning. And what happens is whenever you're hearing a constant diet of, and I'm not saying that the word rebukes, the word corrects, the word disciplines, amen? But it's done in love. But the thing is if you're hearing a constant diet of and preaching and teaching on sin instead of righteousness, what it does is it keeps you under guilt and condemnation rather than lead you into liberty where faith can function. That was a mouthful, okay? And that's what goes on in people's lives. That's the reason why faith is not functioning today, because we've just been hearing a steady diet, don't sin no more, don't sin no more, don't sin no more. Well, I got saved, now what? And now what is the Lord's righteousness was given to me as a gift. All right, now I'm getting ahead of myself. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 4. I'm getting excited. Because this is a revelation that everybody needs. Every Sunday, I know I said last week, redemption is a revelation. This is a revelation that everyone needs as well. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? All right, here's Father Abraham again. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham, listen to this. This is our key scripture, verse 3. Just says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham was in the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. The Bible says in Hebrews that we're under a better covenant with better promises. Amen? Because of what Jesus did at the cross for us and because of the resurrection. Then it says in verse 4, now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace but as debt. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. And that's just basically saying God's not going to be in debt to anybody because of works, all right? We don't get to heaven by works, amen? We don't. And so it's not by works, it's by faith, it's by grace. But to him who does not work but believes on him, that's the key scripture, believe, or the key word today, believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness, okay? Here's a scripture out of James 2, verse 10. I'm going to read out of two translations, out of the New Living Translation and out of the New King James Version. Because you might be in here saying, well, I'm a pretty good guy, and I'm good, and I've done all these righteous things for the Lord. It says, for the person who keeps all the laws except one is as guilty as a person who has broken all of God's laws. How many of you have broken God's laws? All right. There's about 40% of you that are lying, okay? And it's not good. But we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We're all guilty. None of us could live up to God's law, which was perfection, all right? We couldn't do that. James 2:10 out of the New King James Version says it. I read it out of the New Living, which is paraphrased. And out of the New King James Version, it says, forever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point. He is guilty of all, and that's so true. So now I'm going to give you... Here's the three points for today, okay? And here's the first one. We got to define what is righteousness. What is righteousness? Here's one of the best definitions I have found. Righteousness means the ability to stand in the presence of the Father God without the sense of guilt, condemnation or inferiority. It means right standing before God. Okay? That's what it means, right standing before God. Not in of your own righteousness, because of what Jesus did for us. Here's the problem with all of us in here. Man, because of the Adamic nature, what we were born into, we have a highly developed sin consciousness, a spirit inferiority complex, a sense of unworthiness that dominates us. We are doubt ruled, and all we have is a sense, knowledge, faith that cannot know God nor find Him. And this is man as he is. Aren't you thankful God didn't leave us as we are? That's why He sent Jesus. And Jesus put that measure of faith in us to receive Him. Now, Job, is everybody with me? Right? Okay, we're starting to understand what righteousness is. This is the definition. Job 33, verse 26, and this is in the Old Testament again, says, "He shall pray to God, and He will delight in him. He shall see His face with joy, for He restores to man his righteousness." Now, here's what I want you to get with righteousness. Every time when we hear the word righteousness, I don't know about you, if you've been around church any length of time, around the Word of God, around Christianity, when you hear the word righteous, I know the first thing that I think about is works, right? Am I doing right things? Am I doing right things? Now, in God's point of view, all right, in God's perspective, what righteousness means is relationship and fellowship with the Father. Isn't that good? That's what He's after. He wants to put us in right standing with Him so He can have a relationship with us. Not so that He can keep score of what we've done right and what we've done wrong. Amen? He wants to put us in right standing with Him so He can have a relationship and fellowship with us. That's why Jesus came. Romans 5, verse 17 says, "For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ." The way you're going to reign in life right now is when you receive this gift of righteousness from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll know who you are in Christ. Now, here's point number two. Did Abraham earn it? Somebody answer that. Did Abraham earn righteousness? No, okay? Even in the Old Testament, he didn't earn it. Okay? Even in the Old Testament, I'm hooked up around that chair. Thanks, babe. I'm going to bring a little visual learning up here today. See if I can do all this. Thanks. Did Abraham earn it? And a lot of times when we hear Father Abraham, we think, man, this guy was a saint, right? Father Abraham had many sons. Somebody else keeps singing it. And we hear about him in Sunday school, and we read about him in Scripture, and I've been teaching about him and about how he's the father of the faith and all this stuff. I'm trying to make rectangle boxes so nobody laugh at my drawing. I'm not a very good artist, but it'll work. And we put Father Abraham. Can y'all see that over there very well? Yeah. Probably not, huh? Yeah. All right, I'll push it over there and put it right in front of Caden so he can see it here in a little bit, so he can get it. Like picking on my nephews. But we always, you know, Abraham, we always put him way up here and think. And I'm going to tell you guys, these guys in the Bible were just like us. They were all jacked up, okay? They were all messed up. Without the Lord, they were messed up. In fact, I'm just going to give you a few things about Abraham, and you can go study his life in the book of Genesis. He lied twice about his wife. Not only once, twice. You know after the first time, you know Sarah chewed his rear end out. You know it. You know she did. And he did it again. In fact, he lied about her. He lied about her twice. The Bible says that Sarah was a beautiful woman. And he lied about her one time to just save his own neck. And it caused the king, he told the king at that time, and I'm paraphrasing all this, y'all go read the story yourself, but he told the king, "She's my sister." And you know that Sarah was over going, "Do what?" You know, "She's my sister." And the king was going, the Bible talks about, was going to sleep with Sarah, which was Abraham's wife, But thank God, God intervened in a dream and told this king, don't sleep with her, or it's going to really mess you up. Because she's a daughter of mine, and she's actually married to Abraham. You know she chewed Abraham out after that, right? And here's the deal. When I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about how messed up Abraham was, this was after, and you might say, well, this is before he was saved. No, this was after he was saved. This was after he believed, is what the word says. And even when we mess up, guys, God is there working things out for our good. Even when we screw it up. Isn't that good? Because God is a good God. And then to take it even further, and you guys got to read it. This is worse than any soap opera you've ever seen. This is even after he is a believer. He sleeps with his housekeeper. Yeah. And we're going to throw Sarah under the bus now. And Sarah told him it was okay. Okay, read. Yeah, you can go read it. It's her idea, right. Guys, it's just all messed up. So they didn't earn it. I want you to know that. Abraham and Sarah did not earn righteousness. It's a gift. It was even a gift in the Old Testament. It's still a gift today. And so I draw these three boxes up here. And this is going to be a bad person. This is going to be a good person. And this is going to be Jesus. All right? And this bad person, I'm going to use somebody that I know very well as a bad person. And it's not Mark W., it's Mark H. That means me, okay? Mark Haney. All right, bad person, all right? And then I'm going to show up here a person that's a very good person that I know. And I hope I get some points today because it's Jada, all right? And so this is, we didn't earn it, guys. And so Jesus, he's over here and he is righteous, right? Capital R. He is perfect. He fulfilled all the law. This was me before I knew Jesus, and we're going to use this. S is going to be sin, and R will be righteous, okay? Means righteous in this situation is going to be doing right things, doing the right thing. And so here I am before, I'm going to tell you, I was this. This was what was in my, this is our accounts here. This was my account, guys, before I knew the Lord, okay? Wow. It's full of S's. S's stand for sin, right? There's even these sins. You can fill up this whole deal, right? Sin, 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 sin. Now, yeah, he should have spanked me more. And then here's Jada. She's perfect. She's an angel. I love her. She's constantly doing right things. She's constantly making sure I do right things. Her whole account's just filled with ours. She's just so good. My scoring points, babe? Okay. She's even, and just maybe just one little sin right there. I'll give make sure she's got one in there. All right. Now, here's the deal. So this is us before we meet Jesus, right? All right? He is perfect. He is righteous. Even though Jada has done a lot of right things in her life, she still has this one S, even though I've done, and I had a few R's. I'm going to give myself one since I gave her one S, all right? But none of this, even though she's a good girl, I'm a bad boy, none of this gets us to heaven. Everybody get that? That just, it doesn't work. It doesn't compute. And none of us, here's a scripture that I want to give to you. It says, you can put R as rags before Jesus. It says, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags before God. All right? So Abraham did not earn it. Everybody see that? Even after he believed, he lied twice. He slept with his housekeeper. His wife told him to do it, so he did it because he was obeying his wife. I mean, it was just all messed up. This whole family was jacked, and it's like, Lord, help me help myself, right? Okay? That's the kind of family this was. And I do that, and I say that, and it's funny, but it is scriptural. It's there. Their whole life story is there, is because sometimes we put them on a pedestal and think they were perfect, and they weren't. They needed God's grace just like we do today. Amen? And so that's Isaiah 64, verse 6. Those are the three boxes. So I hope you see that visual. So But the Bible says in Romans chapter 4, what I read earlier, was that Abraham believed and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So I want to find out, what did Abraham do? What did Abraham do to have righteousness? All right? I'm going to have to erase this real quick. Well, I should just do it like this. Save me some time. I'm going to draw another box in here. Look at somebody and say, I am righteous. Okay, y'all are starting to get it, right? Starting to see it, okay? You saw what was happened before. Good works don't get us into heaven. I'm going to draw another little tiny box here. And that's going to be you, okay? As you look at this, all right? Now, we were all sinners, right? Falling short of the glory of God, right? So all of us, we're sinners. Here we are. We're a sinner. We're a sinner. We're a sinner. And here's Jesus. He's righteous, right? Now, what happened at the cross and the resurrection, and as we, this one word, we have to believe. Everybody say believe. That's the work. That is the work that Abraham did, even in the Old Testament. That's the work that we do, even in the New Testament. It says, Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So the moment that you hear the gospel, and the moment you say, I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is my Savior, he is my Lord, here's what happens. This goes away, this goes away, this goes away. We know Jesus is still righteous, but I just want you to see what happens. All of our sin goes over into his account. And then from his account, he gives us righteousness. Isn't that awesome? He gives us his righteousness. Now here's the deal. Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice, because in the Old Testament, what Abraham had to do was bulls and goats and all, you know, the sacrifices. They did it every year to atone for their sins. And basically the word atone means to cover. So they were covering their sins every year. You know, remind them of my sins, I'm going to cover it. Let's all be good for another year. Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. I want you to get this, guys. He didn't cover our sins. He cleansed us of our sins. He washed us clean. Like it wasn't ever there. Okay? So he totally erased our sin. And so, and here's the reason why I say that is because once you believe, I don't know how to say this, once you become a believer, you are saved by grace through faith, right? Okay? Now, can I break fellowship with God? Yeah, you can still sin and break fellowship with God, but you jump right back in there just by saying, Lord, forgive me, all right? And you don't have to, and it's not one of them deals where you have to come to the altar every Sunday and get saved all over again so Jesus can cover your sins all over again. And everybody said, amen. And when we get this in our knower and in our hearts, guys, is because what happens is whenever we understand this, when I write this up here, but whenever we do sin, then we think, oh my gosh, I got to get saved all over again. You know, I even got to get water baptized again. I've really screwed up. And God just wants us to renew our mind. No, I forgave you. You are righteous in my eyes. Believe, and it's accounted to him for righteousness. And everybody said, now, guys, I want you to look at this. I'm going to show you a scripture about this, and this is, what did Abraham have to do? John 6, verses 28 through 29, it says, then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? All right? They're saying we want to do what Jesus does. And Jesus answered and said to them, he doesn't say works, he says work, singular. He said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent. That's all the work we got to do. Now, the fruits of righteousness, I'm going to go a little bit deeper today. The fruits of righteousness is whenever you start going around and you start destroying what the enemy is doing in around you. Okay, that's the fruits of righteousness. When you start making things right around you, bringing the kingdom of God into this world, making things right. If somebody's sick, you lay hands on them, see them healed. Amen. And you can do that. You don't have to call Pastor Mark to do that. You can do that right at home yourself because you're a believer. It's been accounted to you for righteousness to act on God's behalf in this earth. But you have to believe that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And what most people do is the enemy will come along and lie because you got this S in your life. Well, you can't operate in this fruits of righteousness. Yes, you can if you will believe that by faith.
Amen.
And everybody said,
amen.
And you've got to use the name of Jesus. It's all about him. But he wants you to stand in that right place. He says, I want you to come to my throne boldly, is what Hebrews says, because you're my child.
Yes.
And not hold your head down because you're a sinner. And when we start... And guys, it's all a mindset. Excuse me. When we start thinking this way, we're going to start acting that way. And then we're going to be a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Amen?
Yes.
I mean, anybody that walks through these doors, they walk through these doors sick, they're going to get healed in Jesus' name. I'm wanting to start seeing signs, wonders, and miracles follow every one of us. Amen? Because that is our right as a believer.
Yes.
To operate in this. But we have to renew our mind to this righteousness thing. This righteousness thing is a big thing that the enemy combats a lot by keep trying to tell us, no, you're still a sinner. No, you're still a sinner. No, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You may not feel like it. You may not even act like it sometimes, but you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And everybody said, amen. All right, I want you to turn to one more passage of Scripture. Is this helping somebody today? Okay. One more passage of Scripture that I'm going to read, and then we're going to have a baby dedication. So if you can tell those back there, guys, I told them that they're going to come back out here for our baby dedication. So this is Romans 3, verses 21 through 27. And this is the Apostle Paul, and like I said earlier, he had this revelation that he was worked very hard as an apostle trying to get this into the body of Christ. He says in verse 21, I'm going to read down to verse 27, it says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We oftentimes just quote that, but you got to read the context of this. He's talking about righteousness. And verse 24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. That's how you receive righteousness, is by faith. And everybody said, amen. God is good, and all the time. I'm going to give you a book if you want to go into this further. It's called Two Kinds of Righteousness, and it's by E.W. Kenyon, K-E-N-Y-O-N. And I'll tell you how I found out about this book is I listen a lot to Kenneth E. Hagin, who's went home to be with the Lord. He's wrote a lot of books like this, and I've read a lot of his stuff, and he had mentioned this man, E.W. Kenyon, who was even before him, who he learned a lot of his stuff from. He's a great Bible teacher, and I've ordered every one of his books from his library that he wrote in his lifetime, and it's called Two Kinds of Righteousness, and it's E.W. Kenyon. It's a very, very good book. I encourage you all to get that if you want to go deeper into this about righteousness. So is our kids coming out here yet? The kids out here yet? Bring them on out here. We're going to have the Callaway family come up here. Miss Haven. I want them all to come up here. Can everybody come up here? Yeah, come on. Come on, Jacoby. Takes a family. Takes the whole family to raise a village. I want all of them to come up here, including Clark, wherever he's at. He can't get out of this. Thanks, babe. I have Lindsay and Haven stand next to me. Yeah, who's going to do the photos? Jada? May have to. Jada. Yeah. So I wanted the whole family to come up here because it takes everybody to raise these kids. And yes, it does. It takes a village to raise them all. And this is my family. Most of you know this. Some of you may not know this. But I am, of course, you know, I'm married to Jada. And then Clark is Jada's brother. And then Clark married my cousin, Jennifer. And it's all legal, okay? I promise. It all works on the family tree. Don't ask me. Yeah, we're not in Arkansas. We're in Oklahoma, Western Oklahoma. But it all works, and it's good to have Lindsay's family here today, too. We had our Callaway Christmas. I just want to share this. And, you know, the older you get, the more you realize how important family is, right? And when we were at Clark and Jennifer's house for our Christmas last weekend. My weekends are all running together. And I was sitting there watching everybody. Jacoby couldn't be there. He was at work. And just looking at all the grandkids and all the different kids running around. And I was sitting there, and I had this memory of sitting there at their house on Christmases. And when Jacoby and Caden were about that size, you know, little. I mean, not this little, but pretty little. And we would get them out there in the middle of the floor, and they'd have MMA fights together. And we would referee it and laugh at them. And then I'm like, now they're all grown up, and they got kids of their own. And that's the way, get started again, exactly. We're ready to see Hayes and all them go after it. But family is just a blessing. And just seeing our family grow the way that it has. And this is the one way you grow your church, is you keep having babies. So they've got Hayes and Haven now. And so are you going to have any more? See, no, it's done. It's over. Got the girl and the boy. I put them on the spot. So in the first thing that we're going to do here is I've got this in Luke chapter 2, verses 22, and this is in the Christmas story. It says, when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And so this is a very precious moment as they present Haven to the Lord. We've already dedicated Hayes, didn't we? Yeah, we did that a while back. And you're coming into connection with God's will for her life. So this is a charge to Jacoby and Lindsay up here. Do you promise in the presence of the Lord, your family, your friends, and your church family to do your best to raise Haven in the love of the Lord, to train her in the way that she should go so that she will come into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? If so, say we do.
We do.
Amen. And so here's a charge to all of us as a church family. Do you, family, friends, and members of Harvest Fellowship Church promise to commit your time, resources, and prayer to help these parents raise Haven in such a way that they will come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and grow to desire to love and serve God? If so, say we do. Amen. And so what Jesus did in Mark chapter 10, verse 16, says Jesus took the children up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and bless them. So what I want to do is, can I take Miss Haven? Hopefully she don't wake up and start crying. Oh, this makes me want to take a nap. She's all nice and warm, cozy. All right, I want you to stretch forth your hand as an act of faith, and I'm going to pray over Miss Haven. Father, we stand in awe of your creation of Haven. We know that every good and perfect gift is from above and that the fruit of the womb is your reward. We know that you have great plans for Haven, and they are plans to prosper her and to give her hope and a future, and we excitedly anticipate watching those plans unfold as she grows. Amen. Father, thank you for Haven. Amen. And her family. I am so sorry. We pray that you will bless her as they create a family environment of love that will enable her to become all that you created her to be. Lord, give them your wisdom in raising Haven and Hayes in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you and keep you, Haven. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Okay, I better give you to Mama or Daddy. She started waking up. She started hearing my voice. Amen. Amen. Let's pray a blessing over this family today, okay? Father, we thank you for the Callaway family and for Lindsay's family, for all them being here for this special moment. God, I thank you so much just to see my nephews serving you, Lord, and it just blesses my heart seeing Jacoby and Lindsay over here to my right on Sunday mornings worshiping you, and God, that they have their children here, Haven and Hayes, God, and I just thank you that they're growing up in a home that's going to know nothing but the love of Jesus and the love from this family, God. I thank you for the great support system that they have in their own family, on both sides of the family, but also the church family as well. And God, we just speak a blessing over this family today. And God, we love you and praise you, and we thank you so much for the gift of family. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. God bless you guys. Love y'all. Good to see you guys. Give them a big hand clap. Amen. Got lots of good pictures. All right. I want everybody to stand up in here as they go back to, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you guys today. So Jada, come up here. Before we speak the blessing, though, I want to make sure that what I said earlier, that Abraham believed God and God accounted it to him for righteousness. So just want to make sure that every one of you in here is a believer, those that are watching online and those that are listening to this on the radio. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We have to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and then believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. So I want to lead you in a prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never prayed this before. If you have and you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer after me anyway. Say, "Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me." And everybody said amen. If that's the first time you prayed that prayer, and your next step of obedience is following the Lord in water baptism, so get with me after church and we can do that next Sunday. Now I'm going to speak this blessing over you out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. "Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it." And everybody said amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, "I am righteous in Christ Jesus."